The NBA Finals begin today with the Miami Heat facing off against the San Antonio Spurs. And of course, attention is focused on Miami's star player, LeBron James, as he fights for his team to collect their third NBA title. But our next guest says there's something else to watch, his growing influence off the court. He was one of the first voices to call for the ouster of LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling after Sterling's racist comments were made public. Here's LeBron James.
We're fighting to get an owner out of our league that shouldn't be a part of our league. And no matter how long it takes, no matter how much money it costs, we need to get him out of there.
Now, it's been rare for a star player to get involved in politics and speak out against authority, especially players involved in a team's sport. But according to sports columnist William Rodens, he says that LeBron James is breaking that mode. And William Rodens is with us now to tell us more about that. Welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I think a lot of people might remember John Carlos and Tommy Smith at the 1968 Olympics giving their Black Power salute on the medal stand in Mexico City, for which they paid a very heavy price, by the way. It has to be said. But for the most part, you were saying in your piece that players in team sports have generally refused to get involved in racial and political issues. Why is that?
Lack of courage, lack of conviction, lack of critical thinking skills in college, where most of us learn our critical thinking skills. That's sort of the irony and the problem of this of the big time college sports industry, where people are pretty much passed through in big time football, big time basketball, and they really don't really embrace the college experience. They just kind of get passed through, and they really never develop those critical thinking skills. And they're also taught from an early age in AAU basketball and youth football that the best way to make it through the system, particularly if you're a young Black kid, is just to put the blinders on. Don't look left. Don't look right. Just go straight ahead. Stay on the conveyor belt. Be a good boy and don't make waves. And perhaps you'll reap the fruits of your silence. And I think Michael Jordan became the signature of that approach by not making waves, by promoting. Making you
his
look at him.
Interest, and that, his commercial. Well, you reference this in this piece. Remember, he's from North Carolina. He was asked to get involved in a campaign where an African-American candidate was running against Jesse Helms, who was a conservative and who was running a kind of a racially divisive campaign. And Jordan famously was said to have said, well, right. Republicans buy shoes, too. Did that set a certain tone for other players to say that you should focus on your commercial interests as opposed to any kind of broader political or social interests?
Yeah, of course, Michelle. I think that had he done what Smith and Carlos did, because everybody was looking for Jordan, as they're looking to LeBron, for direction to set the tone. And his tone was, hey, look, just take the money and run, keep your mouth shut, and endorse those products. That was that, and he set that tone, which is so interesting about LeBron, in that I think, it's a different era, it's a different age, but courage is generational. And I think LeBron realized, back in Cleveland when he decided, I could choose where I want to play, to making a statement about Sterling. He said, what are they going to do to me? I'm the guy. And telling, by extension, telling players, look, guys, we are the league. If there is no players, there's no league. And even looking at
that was true of Michael Jordan too. I mean, he was the biggest. He was the face of the league for so long.
He didn't think that way, though. You see what I'm saying? He chose political neutrality.
But what I'm curious about is why you think LeBron James has taken this tack at this particular point in his career. I was wondering whether you saw signs of this inclination at an earlier point in his career.
Really, Michelle, to me, the first inclination was doing the decision. When he decided to take ESPN up on his offer and say, yeah, okay, I'll roll with that. But more when he decided to leave Cleveland and exercise his right, not just as a free agent, but to choose where he wanted to go and do it in alliance with other star players. Recognize that we've got the muscle. We can do this. And I think the next level is going to be now that they've seen how these franchises are being sold for, like $2 billion, is wait a minute. We should be able to get a portion of those proceeds. And I'm hoping that that's the next level of I don't want to call it protest, but insight or well, maybe it is protest at the next bargaining negotiation for the players to say that, wait a minute, when these franchises are sold like this, the players should get a portion of the proceeds, not necessarily us, but it should go to the NBA Players Association for, let's say, retired players. But so I'm looking, going forward, I'm looking for LeBron's influence to gain. That's why I'm pulling for the Heat, by the way.
Okay. Duly noted. You know, I noted in your piece that you mentioned that 2 years ago, James took a photo with his Heat teammates in hooded sweatshirts in an effort to bring awareness to the fatal shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. And that was a moment that stuck out for some people. Also because this was not an issue that was specific to basketball.
Right.
I do want to mention that, you know, there are other people in other sports. I'm thinking about the NFL kicker Chris Clouie, mm-hmm. who believes he was not picked up by another team for another season because of his decision to speak out in support of same-sex marriage as an ally, noting that he is not a gay man himself, but he felt a responsibility for reasons that he has made clear to speak out in favor of this issue. I have to ask whether you think, and obviously people disagree that was why he wasn't picked up, but he believes that to be the case. Do you feel LeBron James in a different position because of his dominance in his sport, or because so far he's really kind of focused on issues that are specific to his job, which is profession, which is basketball?
Well, yeah, LeBron is in another universe, Michelle. I mean, a lot of people don't know Chris Clouie. Everybody from China to Senegal to everybody knows LeBron James. If LeBron made the same statement about same-sex marriage, people would stop and listen. I'm not saying that they'd all follow, but they'd stop and listen. So it's not just sports specific. It's the idea that LeBron James, a person who's known universal, is taking the blinders off and is looking around his surroundings. Remember, just before the Olympics, when he was going to China, people were asking him about human rights issues in China. And he actually said, you know, when I get there, I'll consider, you know, I'll do my due diligence and I may say something about it. I think what happened is that the coaching staff and probably some people from the government kind of got to him and said, listen, that's not the time, you know, let's not do that. But it's on his radar. And I think that my impression of LeBron in terms of his evolution, he's more like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in terms of being headed toward being a Renaissance person who's looking at things beyond, as you said, his sport or his particular circumstances. But we'll see. You know, we'll see.
A final question. LeBron famously went to and started playing professional sports right after high school. So one of that kind of loops back to the beginning of our conversation is, you know, your argument about why a number of these players have not been more outspoken in the past is that they are actually lightly educated, despite the fact that many of them actually did attend college. But you're saying that they really didn't absorb the college experience. Does LeBron James have anyone advising him or helping him shape his thinking in some of these areas? Very briefly, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that not going through that educational system probably helped him. And he's got a team. He's got an independent team of people, some people he grew up with. He didn't go the traditional route of the huge agents and the huge law firm. So from the very beginning of his career, he set the tone. I'm going to be an independent thinker and an independent athlete.
William C. Roden is a sports columnist for the New York Times. He was kind enough to join us from our bureau in New York. We've been talking about his piece titled NBA's On-Court Leader Embraces Off-Court Mantle Without Fear. Bill Roden, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure, Michelle.